Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei. We begin on the very last line, quoting the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Tes Omud Beis. And the Mishnah is quoted as saying, Dio Kidei Lichtov. The person is Chayav Chatas, again, with the series of Mishnayos that we've been learning. The Gemara's the last couple of days have been talking about if a person inadvertently carries out something on Shabbos, how much is the shiur that you be Chayav Chatas? Again, always any amount is Osir. Chati shiur is Osir min HaTorah. However, here we're talking about a Chayav of a Chatas has to be something that is, quote, significant. So the Mishnah is saying that the amount of ink that's considered significant is enough to write two letters. That's what the Mishnah said. Dio, kidei lichtov shtei osios. So the Gemara says, we turn to the Yomar Aleph, Tana. We learned in a Braisa, shtei osios bidio. If you, for example, took out dried ink. Rashi says dio here means dio yovesh. So if a person carried out dry ink, enough to write two letters, or we delete the vav over here, it should be shtei osios bekolmos, or he took out a quill, kolmos is a quill, and there's enough ink on this quill to write two letters, or shtei osios bekalmarin. Rashi explains kalmarin is keses hasofer. This is like the ink well. So there's enough ink in this well for the writing of two letters. In all of these situations, one would be chayav achatas. You don't have to carry out all of them. Any one of them that you carried out, that's considered enough ink that's significant. Rashi points out over here, if there's not enough ink in there, why aren't you chayav for carrying out the quill? Why aren't you chayav for carrying out the ink well? It's the ink inside that we're saying is the shear that's necessary. Why aren't you chayav for carrying out the container? So Rashi reminds us of a very important principle here that we've mentioned previously, and we're going to have in the Gemara and Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. We'll discuss it minimally now, but we have to discuss it really till we get there. And it says, Hamotzi ochlin pachus mikishir bichli. If you carry out food that is less than the shear for the food on Shabbos, and you put it in a basket, you put it in a kli, you're potter af ala kli. You're not chayav even for carrying out the kli, because the principle is mipnei shakli tfeila lo. The kli is considered subordinate to the food inside of it. So even if the food isn't the shear, nevertheless the kli is considered subordinate. So that's why Rashi explains over here, you're not chayav for carrying out the quill, you're not chayav for carrying out the ink well, because they're subordinate to the ink. The ink is the ikker part over here that you want. That's the Braisa. Boy, Rava says, what about the following scenario? If you took out os achas bidio, if you took out enough of the dried ink to write only one letter, and you had to combine it with one of the others, and the Rashi says you combined it with any one of the others. So you're talking about the three things that we can say over here. You took out two of them to make the shear. So if you took out, for example, os achas bidio, with the dried ink, you had enough for writing one letter, and os achas bekomus, on the quill, you had enough ink to write one letter, or osachas bekalmarin, or in the inkwell, you had enough ink to write one letter. So you took out the shear for two letters, either of these two of these three. So mahu, what's the halacha? Do they combine or do they not combine in this situation? And the Gemara leaves it as a teiku. We don't come to a conclusion over here. Tosos points out over here on the top of the Tosos, apo pi shishnei kulmosim mitstarfe ki agavna. Even though everybody agrees that if you took out two quills, then the ink on the two quills, the one os on one quill and one os on the other quill, they would combine. However, here he's saying, ki hai gadna shem alo mitstarfi. The question is being asked, what happens if it's two different things, if it's the quill and the inkwell, or the dried ink and the quill? So that's the question. But if it was the same thing, then everybody would agree that it would combine. Okay, Gemara continues and tells us a number of other dinim that Rava is going to tell us. Amar Rava, hotzi shtei osios, if a person took out two letters worth of the dio, ukisovan shumahalech, and he writes them down on a piece of paper while he's walking. Now, there's no hanocha since he doesn't stop walking. We've mentioned already from the very beginning of the Masechta, in order to be chayav for carrying, you have to have an akir and hanocha. You have to pick it up in the Rishus HaYochid and bring it, let's say, to the Rishus HaRabim, and stop and deposit it over there. You have to have the akira, the lifting up, and the hanocha, the putting it down. Here, the person carried it from the Rishus HaYochid, but he never stopped in the Rishus HaRabim, and he goes all the way to another Rishus HaYochid. But while he was in the Rishus HaRabim, he wrote it. Now, he's going to be chayav for kesiva. We're not interested in that. Of course, he's chayav for kesiva. But the question is he chayav also for carrying the ink out from the Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim? So he wrote it on a piece of paper. So therefore, he is chayav. This act of writing it down on the piece of paper is the hanocha. Again, of course he's chayav for the writing. That's not the question. Here we're saying, ksivosan zuhi anichosan. It's the act of writing it down that is also the act of hanocha. So in regards to carrying, he's chayav as well. Of course he's chayav for writing. Another statement the Rava said, Rama Rava, Hotzios Achas Uksava. If a person took out one letter's worth of ink, which again would not be Chayav Achatas, and he wrote it down. Again, he wouldn't be Chayav Achatas here for writing. He had to write two letters. He wrote down one letter. It's also to do this, but he did it. And then what happens? V'chazar v'hotzios achas uksova. Then a little while later on, but still within the same helim, still the same forgetfulness. So he takes out another letter and he writes it. So in this situation, Rava says he's potter. He's not chayev achatos. Why? He did two chatzishias. Why don't they combine? It's behelim echot. Why don't they combine to make him chayev achatos? He wrote one letter. He carried out enough ink for that letter. He wrote another letter. He carried out enough ink for that letter. He should be chayev. He carried out two letters worth behelim echot. Why is he not chayev? So Gemara says, my time, the reason he's not chayev, according to Rava, is as follows. Be'idno di afgo lebasraisa, at the time that he takes out the ink for the second letter, at that point in time, chosol shiur lekamaisa, the first letter is already pachos mikashir, it's no longer extant. Rashi explains that it dried up. So therefore, when he's writing the second letter, kishemishyavsha, Rashi says, nechsa hashir, the first letter had dried up. And therefore, the chigamra hotza, and when you're trying to bring the second carrying of the ink to combine the ba'in and litzrufa in kanshir bezosios. So at that time, the first one is an extant to the full shear. It's dried up, and therefore you don't have the full shear, and that's why you're not chayev achatas. Rava says another statement, v'yomer Rava, hotzi chatzi grogeres achas, v'yinicha. If a person took out a chatzi grogeres, again, the shear for food, in most foods is a grogeres, a dried fig. So here a guy took out a half of the shear, a half of a dried fig, and he put it down someplace. V'nicha. Okay? He put it in the shusarabim. V'chazar v'hotzi chatzi grogeres achas v'nicha. Then he takes out another half of the shear. So altogether, he's taken out the full shear now, but he takes it out in two halves. So he took out a half of grogeres and put it down. He takes out another half of grogeres and he puts it down. So that sounds like it should be an akira and a hanacha. So if he did that in the normal way of doing it, so then he would be chayev. It was in helam echot. He would be chayev because he now took out the full shear. But here Rav is telling us rishona nasa kimisha kalato kelev. The first one is considered like it's been eaten up by a dog. It's no longer considered over there. Ocean isufo, or if it's been burned by a fire and it's no longer there, and potter. And therefore, when he carries out the second half of grogeres, the first one is not there. It's a little bit like the case where we had the ink that dried up. So here, the first chatzi grogeres is considered not there. It's like he's eaten by a dog or burnt by a fire. And therefore, when he brings out the second grogeres, the first one's not there, and he's potter. Or says, why? Vamai? Mancha, it's there. It's not the case that the dog ate it. It's not the case that a fire destroyed it. It's there. So why is he not chayev? So says, this is what we meant. You misunderstood us. Hochi kamar. This is what Rav is telling us over here. Rav is telling us, in fact, the following. If he went first and he picked up the first half of grogeres that he put down there, so it's no longer there. Kodem hanochas shnia, before he put the second chatzi grogeres over there, then we view the first one, which is no longer there. Nasis rishona kamisha niklata ocean isufa. In halacha, we view the first one, since it's no longer there, as if it had been eaten by a dog or burnt by a fire, and therefore the two shiurim, the two half shiurim, can combine to make the full shear, and that's why potter. He doesn't bring a chatas. Again, he's not allowed to do this. And if he did it by accident, he has to be more careful. But he doesn't bring a chatas because the two half shiurim don't combine in this situation to the full shear. Another statement by Rava, V'yomer Rava, Hotzi Chatzi Grogeres V'nicha. If the person took out a half of grogeres over here of food and he put it down, again, that's half the shear. And then he takes out the chaz of Hotzi Chatzi Grogeres, he takes out the second half of the shear. Again, if he did this in a perfectly normal way, then he would be chayev. It's behelam echad, both of them are there, so he would be chayev. But in this situation, what did he do with the second one? He didn't just put it down. The Havira Derech Oleha. He brought it, as we'll see, within three tfachim of the first Chatzi Grogeres, but he didn't put it on the ground. So even though he didn't put it on the ground, since it's within three tfachim of the original half of Grogeres, so he's Chayev. Because of the principle of Lovud, it's considered as if it's on the ground when it's within three tfachim of the ground, and therefore Rava in this situation says you would be Chayev. It's no different than if he actually put it down. When you're coming within three tfachim of the first half grogeres, so then it's considered chayev. Tosus points out, it's a chiddush over here that he's saying that even though it's not within three tfachim of the ground, If it was between three tefachim on the ground, of course, that's lava. That's kluta kamoshon chadami. That's a principle we had early in the Masechta, that if something is within three tefachim of the ground, it's considered on the ground. Here, it's not within three tefachim of the ground, Tosus points out, and says, nevertheless, it's still considered kluta kamoshon chadami, because it's within three tefachim of the first chatzi grogeris, even though that may be a tefach or two above the ground. So it's nevertheless considered that the second chatzi grogeris is on the ground, because it's on within three tefachim of the first chatzi grogeris. So Gemara says, why is this so? Vamai, halo nach, it's not on the ground. It is in the air. Why is it considered kluto kemoshun chodami over here? So Gemara tells us, kigon shevira toch shlosha, because as I just pointed out, because it was within three tefachim, and therefore even though it isn't actually on the ground, it's within three tefachim of the ground, or within three tefachim of the first chatzi grogeris, and therefore Rava says, in that situation, it's like it's on the ground, and you're chayiv. Rava said further, Amarava, Tosh Shlosha, when we say that it's Tosh Shlosha, it has to be within three tefachim of the ground, L'Rabbanon, Tzorech, Hanocha, Agabi, Mashu, that according to the Rabbanon, who argued with Rabbi Kiva is the one who says this principle, Klut K'moshon Chodami, so that's certainly good, according to Rabbi Kiva, but according to the Rabbanon, that say that it has to be on the ground, so then how does that work over here? They say it has to be on the ground, it doesn't even have to be on a Dover Choshev on the ground, it doesn't have to be on a space of four Tvachim by four Tvachim, it just has to be on something on the ground. So how come according to the Rabbanon, Yechayev? I understand why according to Rabbi Akiva, Yechayev, but Rava seems to be saying his din according to everybody. So according to the Chachamim, why would you be Chayev? So Gemara says, Lokasha, that's not a problem. Even according to the Rabbanon, you'd be Chayev, because they said that we don't apply this principle, Kluta, we don't say something in the air. It's considered on the ground according to the Chachamim. We say it according to Rabbi Kiva, but not according to the Chachamim. That's bizorek. That's when you're throwing it. So when a person throws something, we don't say kluta kemoshun chodami. But Khan b'mavir, here, he's holding it in his hand within three tefachim of the ground. And even the Rabbanu would say in this situation, that's considered like it's on the ground. Fine. That's the number of statements that Rabbi made. Mark continues and says, Tana Rabbanon, then the following in the Braisa. Hotzi chatzi grogeres, if a person takes out a chatzi grogeres, and then the chaz of hotzi chatzi grogeres, he takes out another chatzi grogeres. So the basic thing, which I've already alluded to, behelem echud chayev. If he did this all at once, if he did this all within one forgetfulness, and he took out the two chatzi shiurim, so it's like he took out the full shiur. It is, he did take out the full shiur, and he'd be chayev achatas. However, b'shtei alam was potu, but if he took out the first chatzi shiur, and then they said, hey, did you realize it was Shabbos? He said, ooh, I forgot. So now he knows. Then he forgets. A little bit later, he takes out another chatzi. He says, ooh, it's Shabbos. Oh, I forgot. In this situation, b'shtei alamos, if it was with two lapses, two forgetfulnesses over here, so then he would be, in fact, potter. He's not allowed to do this, of course, but he's not chayev achatas. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, behelem echod, lushus echod chayev. The gersa that we have is that he takes it li rishus echod. If he takes it into one rishus, so then Rabbi Yossi would say yechayev, as long as it's within one helem. But if you take it into two rishuos, l'shtei rishuos pot, if you took it into two different rishuos harabims, we'll see in a moment what we mean by that, they're separated by something in between them, so then this rishuos harabim is considered different than that rishuos harabim, and therefore you wouldn't be chayev achatzis, because according to Rav Yossi, it has to be both to the same rishuos in order for you to be chayev achatzis. If you take it to two different rishuos, even though each one was aser, you're not chayev achatzis. That's the gears that we have. And in the Tosfos, Dibra Maskel, Behelem Echad, Ushus Echad Chayev, he says, according to the Ri, at the end of the Tosfos, Devada Gabi Ksiva, Islam Neymar, Mechusa Kreva, Lavki Mechusa Maisa Dami. He says, in regards to writing, that's the Gemara that we'll have later on for the beginning of the Tosfos, he points out that elsewhere it says, if you write one letter in Sipari, and when you write one letter in Tveri, you are Chayev, even though they're far away. So how come over here with the Shtei Rishuyos, they're far away? You're not Chayev. He says, Hotzah is different. Lohavi ademaise tarvayu l'rishus echad. They both have to be into the same rishus. It's different than writing. That's the explanation of all Gemara with the girsa that we have. The first part of Tosfos, however, has another girsa, and it says that some the Rabbeinu Chananel has the girsa mi rishus achas chayev mi beis rishuyos potur. He says, not lir rishus, not going to, but he says if you take it from the same one. This way there's no problem with the Gemara later on that tells us if you write one letter in Tveri and one letter in Sipor, you're chayev, so that would be here too. The two shtei rishus, you would be chayev, no problem. He says the gear should be me rishus. If you take it from the same rishus, then you're going to be chayev. But if you take it from two different rishuyos, then you wouldn't be chayev. So according to the Rino Chanano, the gear over here was me shtei rishuyos, not li shtei rishuyos. Okay. Amar Rabba, Rabba now gives us, we'll have several opinions over here, three opinions actually, as to what is, according to Rav Yossi, considered the separation between these two Rishus HaRabbims that you're not considered Chayev. According to the Gersa, we have L'shtei Rishuyos. So we have the first opinion of Rabba. Rabba says, the reason why they consider Shtei Rishuyos is Hu Shiei Shchiv Chatas B'neim. There is an area that you would be Chayev Achatas if you carried it from the Rishus HaRabbim into that Rishus. You can see a diagram of this in Rashi, very simple, it's not hard. So you have the Rishus HaRabbim, and then you have a Rishus HaYochid in between, and then the other Rishus HaRabim. So if you took the Chatzi Grogeris from a house into the Rishus HaRabim on the top in the diagram of Rashi, then you took another Chatzi Grogeris from the house at the bottom into the Rishus HaRabim at the bottom, since there's a Rishus HaYochid in between them, that if you were to carry from the Rishus HaYochid into that Rishus HaRabim, or Rishus HaRabim into that Rishus HaYochid, you'd be Chayv HaChatas, so that's considered a valid separation according to Rabba. However, Avol B'Karmel Slope, if you had only a Karmelis in between, that wouldn't be considered significant enough, because carrying from the Rishus HaRabim into the Karmelis, that's not a Chiyuv Chatos. That's the opinion of Rabba. He says that's, according to Rav Yossi, what it means, that they have to be Shtei Rishus, they have to be separated by something really significant, like the Rishus HaYochid. Abaye disagrees. Abaye says, no, even Afilu Karmelis, Abaye says, even if there's only a Karmelis in between, that is considered a separation that would make it not Chayev, according to Rav Yossi. However, Avol Pislo lo, if it's just a little piece of wood, Rashi explains over here, Pislo is Eitz Shochev L'Ruchav Rishus HaRabim. You had a piece of wood, a block of wood in between these two Rishus HaRabims, Umamale Korachu, and it's across the entire Rishus HaRabim, so they're not connected to each other. And then you took out the Chatzi Grogeris into the top Rishus HaRabim, and the Chatzi Grogeris into the bottom Rishus HaRabim. Then, if there was only a Pislo in between them, you would still be Chayev. That's not considered a significant enough separation. And Rava disagrees with that. Rava Marafilu Pisla says, if you have just this piece of wood in between the two Rishuyos, since you could put something down on that wood, it has like a status of a Mokum Tur, so therefore it would separate between the two Rishus HaRabim. According to Rav Yossi, it wouldn't be Chayev. Where did Rava get this from? The Gemara says, well, also Rava Tami. Rava follows his reasoning that he said elsewhere. What is that? The Omer Rava. Rishus Shabbos, Rishus Gitin Damya. He says, in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, whether you have the status of being a separate Rishus or not is the same exact status as in regards to Gittin. What is this in regards to Gittin? So Rashi tells us over here, Ulinyan Gittin, in regards to a get, this pisla, this piece of wood, is considered Rishus Lenaf Shehu. It's considered a separate entity. What do we mean? What are we talking about? So he tells us, the Gemara in Hazorik in Gittin tells us there was a guy, Hau Gabra, the Zorach Gito Ludvisu, he threw Nebuchadnezzar the get to his wife, Bechatzei Ro. Now, it was in his yard, so he had to give over the yard to his wife so she could accept it. And in Gadir Gita, the Nafal Bepisla, and when he tossed it over there, it didn't land into that yard that he had given over to her, but it landed onto a piece of wood in that yard that he gave over to her. But okay, awesome, we learned over there, Shehishul Amaku Mechatzero. Otherwise, if he threw the get into his yard, it's not called going into her possession. So the case there was that he had given her the rights to that yard. He had given that to her, so now the get would be in her yard. So the Gemara said there, Chad Mokom Moshli in Shei, Terei Mokom Moshli Moshli in Shei. That one thing, the yard, he gives over, but he didn't intend to give over the pisla. And therefore, when it lands on the pisla, it's still considered in his Rishus. So to Hilchos Shabbos, this pisla is considered something significant. It's a separate Rishus, therefore it can separate between the top Rishus Rabim and the bottom Rishus Rabim. And that's why Oz the Rabbah Tamayu, he says the same din by Gittin applies to Hilchos Shabbos. Therefore, this pisla does separate the two. And therefore, according to Rav Yossi, they're two separate Rishuyos. And when you carry the two separate Rishuyos, you're not Chayev. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kichol, if you go and do the makeup on the eye, it's a shear that's considered significant. It's Kedei Likchol Ayin Achas, to even go and do one eye. The Gemara says, Ayin Achas? Really? Holo Kochli. Which women go and only put on makeup on one eye? Rashi says, Elul Shteinayim. They always put makeup on two eyes. It would look funny if you had makeup on only on one eye. So why is it considered a significant shear for carrying out makeup for one eye? So Amar Ravuna, Ravuna says, Shekein Tsinuos Kochalos Ayin Achas. He says, you know what? Rashi explains that Tsinuos, the very, very modest women, Shehochos Mutofos, they constantly are totally covered up, and they just need to be able to see where they're going. Veinu Megalos El Ayin Echad Liros. They only keep one eye out. They cover the whole face. And the other eye, they only keep one eye out so they can see where they're going. And therefore, that's the only eye. So Rufuna says it's enough significant for one eye because the really tznuadika women, they would go out with only one eye visible. And therefore, they only need to put makeup on one eye. Therefore, one eye's worth of makeup is considered significant. Mora says, wait a second. Meisvei. The Braisa seems to say otherwise. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, the Braisa tells us, Rav Shimon Elazar says that kichol, when you're carrying out this eye treatment over here, so it depends what it's for. In l'refua, what's considered a significant amount to be chayev for carrying on Shabbos by accident to bring a chatos, she says if it was for medicinal purposes, so then kidei l'chol ayinacha. So then one eye is enough. A person gets an inflammation, one eye, he only puts the drops in on that eye. He doesn't put the drops necessarily in on the other eye. So it's considered a significant amount for one eye. That's for medicinal purposes. However, makashe, if you're doing it for the purposes of beauty, of a makeup, so then b'shteinayim, you know, who in their right mind ever only puts on makeup on one eye? So therefore, as Bryce tells us, for makeup purposes, it's always two eyes. So Rav Huna is wrong. Rav Huna seemed to say that one eye for makeup purposes. Rav Huna said, Amori can't argue with the Bryce. Gemara says, not a problem. Tirguma Hillel Berei the Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni. The answer was given by Hillel, who was the son of Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, that Ki Tanya Hu, when this Braisa was taught, it's talking about Bironios. It was talking about women who live in the Ironios. Rashi explains, Benos Kfarim. These are the women that live in the Kfar, in the smaller villages. And Einan Tzriachat Tznias Kokach. They didn't have the need to be so tsanua like they did in the big city, where there weren't such large crowds in their small little village. Shane Skok Vikalis Rosh Matsisham. And there wasn't the gaiety and the levity that you find in the big cities. This was a small little private little shtat. The Amma Muwatim, and very few people lived there. And therefore, there was no need for these women to take this excessive tzniyastika precaution of only going out with one eye covered. And therefore, they in Machasim Pineim, the Kochlos Bezenem, and therefore, in the little small villages, they would color both eyes because they didn't keep one eye covered. And the big cities, so then they needed to cover only one eye. So that's why Rav Huna said, oh, no problem. Now we quote the Mishnah. Now, the Girsa that we have over here is in parentheses. And the reason why it's in parentheses is not because it's wrong, it's just it's out of place. So we'll read it over here now. The reason we know it's out of place is the Rashis have it out of place. So Rashi had the right Girsa. In any event, it's all correct, it's just out of place. So we'll read it. Shaiva, the Mishnah is quoted, is telling us with the wax, what's considered a significant amount? We said, Kidei litin al pi nekib kotan, in order to plug up a hole. So what type of hole is that? So Tan in the Brice we learned, Kidei litin al pi nekib kotan shoyayin. It's talking about plugging up a hole in a barrel of wine. Rashi says, Rashi's all the way at the bottom, shoyayin limute shem ludvash, as opposed to a barrel of oil or honey, which are much more viscous, they're much thicker. Shayayin zov derech nekib kotan yosir mishem ludvash. Wine can come out of a smaller hole because it's much more flowing. It's not as thick as oil or honey, and therefore the amount that you need to plaster up with wax over here of this hole is the smaller shear, the shear for a wine barrel, rather than the larger hole that would be needed to be plugged up only if you had oil or wax or honey, because they don't flow out of a small hole. Then we go, Deve Kidei Litein Birosh HaShavshav. The Mishnah said if you carry out enough glue that you put on a board. So what was the purpose of this glue that's considered significant? So Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Braisa tells us, it's the amount of glue that you would put on this board, which the trappers would use over here to go and trap the birds. So that's what it was for. They would have the bird alight down on this board, which would be filled with this glue. It's a large amount, Rashi says, and therefore they would go and be able to trap the birds. That amount of glue is considered a significant amount. Then we quote the Mishnah, Zephes Vigofris Kidei Lasos. How much of the pitch or the sulfur do you have to take out in order to cover up a hole? So Tana, we learned the Braisa. What type of hole are we talking about? Kidei Lasos Nekev Katan. In order to cup up, remember we learned in the Mishnah, this we called it this Kesef Chai, this quicksilver, this mercury. So they would have originally sealed, and they make a little hole to let a little bit of mercury out, and then they would seal it. So this is the amount to seal that hole the second time. Then we quote the Mishnah, Charsis, Kidei Lasos Pikur v'chulei. So the amount of the Charsis, we said this was Levena Ketusha, this was a crushed piece of a brick. So the amount that you need to go and make this Pikur, which is a little container that they used to use by the goldsmiths. And Rabbi Yehuda had said, no, enough to make this situation that we call the tripod. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Lememer de Shira de Rabbi Yehuda Nafish. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's shear making the tripod is bigger than the shear of this pikur. But that doesn't seem to be the right way. Hakaimalon, we have elsewhere learned the shiura de Rabbanan Nafish, that the rabbis have the larger shear when the rabbis gave the shear. And then we had Rabbi Yehuda was the smaller shear. So too, doesn't it make sense to say over here that Rabbi Yehuda is the smaller shear, but yet he seems to be saying the larger shear? Where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda followed the rabbis with the smaller shear? That's not. We have this in our Mishnah when we're talking about how much rope you have to carry out, how many reeds you have to carry out, how much reed you have to carry out. So we gave the shear, the Rabbanan was for a handle, and Rabbi Yehuda said, no, can they lead to lemeno midas mina lekotet? No, only the amount of rope or of the reed that you need to measure out the size of the sole of the foot of the child so you can make a shoe for him. That was a smaller shear than the Chachamim. So why over here are we saying that Rabbi Yehuda's shear is larger than the Chachamim? So the Gemara says, no, it's not. It's enough over here for this tripod over here of a very, very small stove. Kira Ketana. That's smaller than Lachsom. Over here, Chayes de Lasso's Pikur. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. Again, this is in parentheses over here. It's not that it's wrong. It just has nothing to do with the Gemara. So that's why the Marshal takes this out. We'll read it. No problem to read it again. Subin, we said the brand. Kedeli tena Pikur, shel tzar pizav. Again, it's used for that purpose to go. And for the goldsmiths, they needed it to cover up the opening of their little container. Fine. According to the Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, the Brisa tells us the amount of hair that you carry out that's considered significant is the amount that you need to go and put into the tit, the clay, and to knead it, legabel boes hatit, because that makes the clay that much sturdier by having a little bit of hair in it. So the amount of hair that you put into it is yofilatit, Rashi says, and this is what its purpose is, and that amount would be significant to make over here the clay have hair in it to make it sturdier. So Gemara says, tit, what is the shear of tit? Lassus pikur shel tzarfizov. That we already learned. That was the amount that to make this pikur of the tzarfizov. Then we quote the Mishnah, said, Sid kidei lasud, enough lime over here in order to go and smear it, and we said on the little girls. So what does it mean on the little girls? Tana, the Brice explains, kidei lasud etzba ketana shibabanos. It means on the little finger of the girls. That's the shear that's considered significant enough. Now, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav tells us, Benos Yisrael Shigil Pirkon, the Jewish girls that reached the age of Pirkon, that means the age of their physical maturity. So they reached a certain time where they were having the signs of physical maturity, but they were too young. They didn't reach the chronological age you'd expect to see that. So let's say, assuming a girl reaches physical maturity at the age of 10, 11, 12, so this five-year-old girl reached this physical maturity. And Rashi explains it was embarrassing for her to have this physical maturity when she wasn't that old. That's the reason that Rashi gives us over here why they would put on this lime to go remove the hair. The Loigiyu Lushanim, they were too young to have over here this physical maturity, and they were embarrassed about it. So therefore, what did they do to get rid of this hair? Benos, Anios, Tofos, Lumbasid. So the poor girls who didn't have the ability to buy the more expensive stuff, so they would use Sid to go and get rid of the excess hair. Benos, Ashirim, the richer girls, Tofos, Lumbasidus, they would take fine flour, and they would take this fine flour and smear it on, and that would remove the hair. It would be a depilatory agent. And the Benos, Velachim, they use Tofos, Lumbasidus, Amor. They use Shemin Amor. We know Shemin Amor from Megillas Esther. Shinemar, Shishoch, Chodoshim, Shemin Amor. The women in the contest to become Achashverosh's wife, they put on this Shemen Amor. Wow, my Shemen Amor? What is a Shemen Amor? So Ravuna Barachia Amar, it's something called Setakas. On the side of the Gemara, it brings down that this is Shemen Mevusum. This is a perfume type of oil, like a balsam type of oil. And that's the explanation Rashi gives over here why the girls would go put this depilatory agents on them, because the girls were considered immature to be having hair there. They were chronologically mature while they were physically mature, and therefore we'd want to get rid of it. Tosus has a different shot over here. Tosus in Tosus Dibra Maskul Shigio, he says, Pirush, Hasomuch Lupirkun, it means Shekrovos Li Nase. It doesn't mean that they're physically mature, even though they're not chronologically mature. He says, no, they're getting ready to get married. And therefore, they wanted to remove some of this pubic hair. Vosus Kede Liafos Ulavi Natsman. They want to beautify themselves, and that's why they would get rid of it. And he brings down the Gemara in Ksubas to support his point of view. A third opinion is brought down over here in the Rabbeinu Hananel. You can see this in the Rabbeinu Hananel all the way towards the bottom of our Gemara, about 5-6 lines up from the bottom of Gemara, where he says, "Sheyu lishanim sha'isha bogeres." She's reached chronological maturity below bogra, but she doesn't have the physical maturity, and therefore below godlo bosa, she doesn't have the little bit of a pubic enlargement, and therefore, in order to enhance her and to make her like an older girl, so therefore, even though she didn't reach the physical maturity, they would put on this sid, and that would give her the physical appearance of an older girl. Okay. These are all the reasons why they would put sid on. Where it says, Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Rud Omer, an piknon is shemen zayis shloi v'yishlish. What is this ma'or, this shemen hamor? He says, it's also known as a piknon, and it's shemen that hasn't reached one-third of its growth. V'lo masachon oso, what's the purpose of using it? So shemei shir es haseyar uma'adin abosor. It goes and removes the hair. Again, like Shitas Rashi, it makes very good sense. You don't want the hair over there. According to Tosos, it also makes sense because you aren't interested in having a lot of hair over there. And according to Rabbeinu Hananel, ma'adin abosor, it's really to go and build up the bosor to make that more appropriate for the age. Okay. Ma'isa shahaya, Rabibi havia le brata. Rabibi had a daughter. And tafla aver, and he would go and put on a little bit of this sid. He would put on a little bit over here, one limb at a time. He wouldn't put it on all of her body. And the reason he did this was to be ma'adein her bosser, to go and have her have like a sheen, to become more desirable. And therefore, shaka ba'arba mi'azuzi, he made her so beautiful that there were many people that wanted to marry her. Rashi says they're all appropriate people. He didn't want a chas v'shalom to just marry a rich guy. So he did this over here, that she had many suitors. Rashi says, shenisiyafo, she became beautiful. The kavtzu aleha hamu ganimba, and all appropriate suitors now wanted to go marry her. And they gave him, the nosdu lo, it should be lo, not law, mamon. So he was able to go and make his daughter much more desirable by doing this. This was such an interesting idea that one of the neighbors, a Goyish neighbor, saw this, Hava Hau Nochri Bishivuse, and said, wow, look what he got. So Havile Brate, the Goyish neighbor, also had a daughter, and he said, I'll do what Rav Bibi did. And Tafla B'chad Zimna, but he didn't do it limb by limb. He just poured all the lime on her. And Nebuch, she passed away, Umesa. Rabbeinu Hanana points out that it plugged up all of her hair follicles by putting on all of this sin, and she wasn't able to lose her body heat, and she became very, very hot, and she died as a result of that. So this guy said, Omar, Kotal, now the Girsa that we have is Rav Bibi Librati. He said, Rav Bibi killed my daughter. Now, why would he call him Rav Bibi? So some have the Girsa over here that you take out the word Rav, and you just have, he says, Bibi killed my daughter. That's what it says on the side, that Rav Bibi, it should be over here, just on the side, it says, delete the word Milas Rav, Lessa. So he says, Bibi killed my daughter. Now, why did he do what? Why did he not do exactly what Bibi did? So the Mefarshim have a very interesting idea. The Ben Yoyada that brings down, and he says, he thought that Rav Bibi only put it on Aver because he was a poor Talmud Chacham. This guy was a rich guy. He says, oh, he had to do it very slowly. He didn't have enough money to do her entire body at one time, so he did a little bit at a time. I have a lot of money. I can go smear her entire body. He didn't realize that Rav Bibi was doing it on purpose and not because he was poor. So that explains what led the guy astray. Others have the gears over here know that it's the Gemara telling us Amre, not Omar, it's Amre, Kotel Rav Bibi Librate. Because of what Rav Bibi did, that caused the death of the other person. According to this gears, the word Rav Bibi is appropriate. It's the Gemara talking about it. Okay. Amr Rav Nachman explains further. And he says, Rav Bibi, the Shasi Shichra, in Rav Bibi's household, beer was a very common drink, and the girls drank it as well. And the beer made them have more hair. So Bayinun Banase Tifla, so they had to go and shmir this sid over their bodies to get rid of the hair. However, Rav Nachman said, Anan, us, the Lo Shasinan Shikha, we do not normally drink beer in our house, so therefore, Lo Bayinun Banta Tifla, it's not necessary for us to go and put this lime on our daughters. Mark continues and says, Rav Yehuda Amar Kidei Lasud Kilko, the amount that you have to take out over here is, according to Rav Yehuda, the amount that would be used for kilkel, lawsuit kilkel, which the Gemara will now explain. And then Rav Nechaimiyat said that the amount is for andifi. The Gemara will now explain what both of those are. So one says, my kilkel or my andifi. What are these kilkel and andifi? What do they refer to? Amar Rab, Rab explains, this is tzida ubas tzida. They would go and put, according to Rav Yehuda, on the temple area to flatten out the hair, and according to Rav Nechemya, they would go and put it on the area below the temple to remove the hair. So the Gemara says, that implies that Rav Yehuda's shear is larger, because the amount that you're flattening down the hair, that's a larger area than the little bit of hair below the temple area. And but here we have over here that the shear of the Rabbanon is normally greater than the shear of Rav Yehuda. So how could Rav Yehuda be greater than the shear of Rav Nechemya? So Gemara says, no, Zutim the Rabbanon. Rav Yehuda, we said, is less than the Rabbanon, but Lav Davka, he's less than everybody else. The Nafish with Rav Nechemya, he could be a higher shear, a larger shear than Rav Nechemya. Gemara asks again, Meisvei, Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, Nirin Diri Rav Yehuda B'chavut. It appears to me that Rav Yehuda is correct if you're dealing over here with a certain type of sid, of lime, that is chavut. Rashi explains over here, sid hanimoach b'mayim harbe. This is sid that is dissolved in a lot of water, and the who also lawsuit kilkel, and that's the right type of sid that you use for the temple area to flatten down the hair over there. So Rabbi said, Itaka seems that Rav Yehuda is right. That's the shear for the temple area, B'chavut. The Divri Rav Nechemya, the words of Rav Nechemya, however, the area below the temple, the Bas Tzida, that's Bebeitzas Hasid. That's with a different type of lime. That's the type of lime that is, Rashi says, Nikval B'mayim Vasu Beitzim Beitzim. It's not so well dissolved. It's a thicker type. So these are two different types of shiurim that Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemya is saying. And Rabbi says, I like Rav Yehuda's shiur when it comes to the temple, and I like Rav Nechemya's shiur when it comes to the Bas Tzidah, the area below the temple. Now, these are two different things. The Kilkel and Divya are two different things. So if you're telling me, however, it's just for the usage that we said, that Rav said, Tzidah and Bas Tzidah, so then then both of them would be using the same type of lime. Why would Rabbi say that Rav Nechemya is using a different type of lime, a thicker type of lime? They both should be using the same type of lime. So therefore, maybe this Tzidda and Bas Tzidda are incorrect. The way Rav interpreted them is not correct. So Gemara says, you're right, Taka. Elam Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says, you know what it is? Amri Devei Rav Ami. I learned this in the Beis Medrash of Rav Ami. Andifa. You know what Rav Nechemya says? He's talking about not the area below the temple. He's talking about Andifa. Rashi says Andifa is Kli Cheres. It's a certain type of earthenware utensil. Velo Shnei Dadin. It has two breasts, literally. It has two nipples over there that are the two spigots. Achas Lamala v'Achas Lamata. And they're located in different locations on the barrel. And therefore, Shirotz Lamalos. So when you want to fill it up, you use one of the spigots and you plug up the other one. So it's Adara Tachto. And you plug up the bottom one. And then you're ultimately going to use the top one or the bottom one to fill up and to let out the wine. With this Lashon of Andifi, Lashon Andifi, right, says, is shtei pios, du pi, Andifi. D is two, and P is the mouth. So it has two mouths to it, two spigots to it over here. And therefore, that's what Rav Nechemya is saying, the amount of lime that you have to take out to go and plug up the Andifa. Mora says, I don't like this as well. Maskev lo Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, wait a second. V'chi adam oseh ma'osav anparos? Would you go and plug up a barrel of wine with lime? Rashi explains that the lime is going to dissolve. The wine is going to dissolve the lime, and all your money is going to go out the window because it's going to be dissolved and it will leak out. So that can't be what it's talking about. So Rav Kahana says, I have the definition of Andifi, Elam Rav Kahana. You know what it is? Shnosos. Now Rashi here has a couple of pshatim. The second one he doesn't like, so we'll just learn the first pshat in Rashi, and that's talking about basically that it's shnosos, is what we would call a graduated cylinder. You have a kli that has simonim in it. It's a kli cheres. Rashi says it's a large kli cheres, what we would call a graduated cylinder that's marked off. This is the half of the ounce, this is a quarter of an ounce, this is a tenth of an ounce, etc. Has markings on it. It's a measuring cup that has markings on it. Kiditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, and Menachos. Shinosos, how you begin, that when they needed the carbon mincha, it was brought with a certain amount of oil. The various libations came with various korbanos, so they needed to know how much of the libations, the mincha libation, came with the korbanos. So we have shlishis asin la'ayil, riyas asin la'keves, ha'echad, etc. So they needed to know what the markings are. So shnosos yibihin, the hin, which is 12 lug, so it had markings on it. Ad kan lepar. They filled it up over here for the par. And ad kan la'ayil, here for a ram. And ad kan la'keves. So therefore, it's a graduated cylinder. That's what it's for. So these markings were made over here with the lime. Fine. Alternatively, if you say Mamai and Difi, another explanation for Adifi, it means Apusa. Apusa is the forehead. And therefore, they would do this over here, La'aden HaBasar, they would do this to make it more shiny, to make it more beautiful, but not to remove hair. On the forehead, there is no hair. And that's why it was a different type of lime. As Rashi said, Shalom Makom Seir, Ulahadim. It was the whole purpose there is not to remove hair, there's no hair on your forehead, and it was just to make it more red, to make it more ruddy. Okay. And we understand that this pshat of Andifi is correct. This last one, Apusa, from the following story. There once was this person who came from the Galil, Deikla Lebovel, and he went to Bovel. So this Bar Galil went to Bovel, and he's a Talmud Chacham. So come, they told him, the Amulei, come, the Rosh Lam B'Maisa Merkava. Go and teach us the Maisa Merkava. Now, the Gemara elsewhere tells us that the Maisa Merkava is not something that you can go learn just stam like that. You don't just give a shir on Maisa Merkava. And the Gemara Chagiga tells us a lot of restrictions on who is allowed to and under what circumstances you're allowed to teach somebody the Maisa Merkava. And this person, the simple reading of the Gemara is, did not take any of that into account. So they told him, please teach us the Maisa Merkava. He should have said, no, I can't do it. Amalu, instead, he told them, sure, Edrosh Lechu, I'll be happy to teach you, Kididarish Nechem Lechavei, as Rav Nechemya taught to all of his Chaveirim. That's the Girsa that we have over here. Others have a different Girsa. Others have the Girsa that he said, I'm not going to teach it to you because of what happened to Rav Nechemya. But we'll just leave our Girsa. And he says, I'm going to teach it to you just like Rav Nechemya taught it to his Chaveirim. Now, he wasn't allowed to do this, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped him. V'nofka arisa min hakosel. Arisa, Rashi tells us, is a tzira, a hornet, and it emerged over here from the wall, and it killed him, it stung him. Umachse ba'andifi, it stung him on his forehead. That's the whole purpose of the story, to tell us that andifi means his forehead. Umis, and he died. Barmulei, they said about this person, Mindilei dolei, his own hand caused him to die. In other words, he brought this on himself. He shouldn't have learned it. He wasn't allowed to. Now, why bedafka the forehead? So the Ben Yehuda says, is so to say, your life is written on your forehead. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that he died for a purpose over here, and he shouldn't have done what he did. The Maritz Chiya says over here that this story was very well known to them, and that's why they didn't translate the word andifi over here. This was a well-known folklore, and therefore they knew this when they said omasi bandifi. Oh yeah, andifi means forehead. And finally, the Menachem Meish of Nefesh says that the gears over here was that the, as I mentioned, that this Galilean guy said, I'm not going to teach it to you because I don't want to happen what happened over here to this Rebbe. What happened to him, I don't want to happen to me. This Maisa over here, it happened to Rav Nechemya, I don't want it to happen to me. Okay. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and he says, Adoma, what's the shear for a person carrying out dirt? You're not allowed to carry out dirt on Shabbos, but what is the shear for dirt? So when do you use dirt? So the Mishnah tells us, Kechosim ha-martzufim, that they used to have, Rashi says, these martzufim, these are sakin hasui miklipas, they're bags of some sort, sakin, that are made out of pieces of wood, that are large pieces of wood, and they would put their wares inside of these sacks, and they would put them on the boats, and v'chosmen or something, they would seal them. So this dirt would be used to seal these sacks, so nobody could get into them, and therefore, that is considered a significant amount of dirt. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Chachamim say that no, the shear is over here kichosa moigros, a smaller shear, that is the amount that you would go and seal a letter. A letter doesn't require such a large amount, and therefore shiur the rabbanon zuta Rashi says it's a smaller shear, the amount to seal a letter. You're not letter. You didn't want somebody to read their letters, so they would seal them. Then we had this next piece in the previous Gemara, Zeva v'chol adak. What's the shear of taking out fertilizer or sand that is very thin, very fine sand? It's not large clumps of sand. So what's the shear for that? So we had a machlokas. We brought this down previously. The Tanakhama's opinion, Rabbi Akiva, is k'dei lezavo kelach shel kruv. The amount of this fertilizer or the sand that's used as a fertilizer over here to go and fertilize a single cabbage, kruvis cabbage. That's Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and we brought that earlier. The Chacham say, no, it's a smaller shear. The Chacham here are the smaller shearim, and they say the shear is kedei lezavol krisha, enough to go and fertilize a single leek, which is a smaller shear. Then chol hagaz, you take out large clumps of sand. What's the purpose of that? What's considered a significant shear? Kedei litain al melo kaf sid. That's to put on. Rashi says a melo kaf sid is something called a trowel, which is a foreign word, but it's also an English word, which basically means a kaf, some sort of a ladle, some sort of a cup. So that's how much of this large pieces of sand that you would use. Kedei litain al melo kaf sid. Why would you go and do this? So the Gemara is going to explain that it makes the sid, it makes the lime over here, much stronger. So that's why you would put it in, and the amount that you would put in into this melo kaf sid is considered a significant amount of the large, thick sand. What's considered a significant amount of a reed, a cornet? What do they use a reed for? So kedei lasos kumis. So a reed would be like a quill. So a reed that was a size, as Gemara will explain, that you could use it as a quill, that's considered a significant reed. If it was not able to be used as a pen because it was too thick, Rashi says it would be clumsy to use in that situation as a pen, or it was merusas, it has a lot of cracks in it, and you can't use it as a pen, so then you can use it as firewood. What's considered a significant amount of reed to carry out as firewood that bechayvachatas? Kedei lavashel bebeitzim, kalosh bebeitzim, in order to go and cook the easiest egg that's able to be cooked from all the eggs. Gemara will explain this, a little chicken's egg, and it's especially when it's trufa unisuna beilfis, it's already scrambled and it's ready in a hot oven, and it's in the ilfis, in this pot, in this hot oven, it will cook very quickly. The amount of additional heat that you have to add with this reed, that is the shear for being significant amount of reed. The Gemara will explain this a little bit more. The Gemara starts off and says al melo kaf sid, the amount of the thick sand over here, clumps of sand, was to again put into a ladle full of sid. Where do we get this from? Tana. Because this is the amount that they would use, this kaf shel sayadim, the people that would go plaster up a wall, so they would throw in some of this thick sand to make it sturdier. Gemara says, man tana dechol ma'ali l'sid. So our Mishnah says this is significant. In other words, it's good. So who is the author that says that it's good to throw in this sand into the sid? So this is actually a machlokas. Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista says Rabbi Yehuda. This is only the opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, because the Brisa says lo yasur adam es beis ubesid. Nowadays, post beis hamikdash, a person is not allowed to go and plaster his house with this sid. Why not? Because it's too nice, and we don't want to have such a beautiful thing in the post beis hamikdash era. And therefore, Rashi says la'acher chubim mishum avelu shel Yerushalayim, don't do this. But you can do this if you make it not so good. How do you make it not so good? Elim imkain, irev bo tevin ochol. By putting in either straw or this thick clump of sand, you're making it not good. So the Tanakhama says that that is not considered good. It's not considered significant. So that's going to be the kasha. So our mission is not going according to this Tanakhama. And Rabbi Hud is the one that says, no, tevin is mutter. Tevin is allowed, but chol is also. You're not allowed to put in the chol. Why not? Because mibneshu tarkisid. That's going to make it even better. And therefore, this takizid Rashi says sid chazak umiskashi yosya mishim lo irbo. That's not a good thing to put in there because it's going to make it better. So therefore, post korban you can't do it, and that's why on Shabbos it's considered a significant amount. So it looks like our mission is only going according to Rav Yehuda. Moreover, never likes to do that. We don't like to make a mission only go with the das yochid. So Rava says no. Rava amar afilu tamer rabbanon. No, this could even be the opinion of the rabbanon. Either rabbanon seem to say that it's not good. So afilu tamer rabbanon says no. Kil kilu zehu tikuno. This ruining it over here is actually what makes it better. So therefore, even though the chol over here putting into it is going to make it better, we don't do that post beis hamikdash because you're not allowed to make it better, even though it makes it look worse, but it makes it sturdier. And therefore, this could even be considered significant according to the Chachamim. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Kana kedei lasos kumos. We said a reed is something that you would use as a pen, and therefore as a quill, and therefore you're allowed to go, it's considered a significant amount if it could be used as a pen. So Gemara says, Tana, we learned the Brisa to qualify this, kumus hamagia l'kishri etz biosav, that it has to be long enough that it gets up to your knuckles. When you're holding in your hands, it gets up to the kishri etz biosav. So does it mean the entire joint, or does it mean a different part of the joint? What do we mean by Ravashi? He says Kesher Elyon or Kesher Tachton. Every finger has two joints in it when it attaches into the knuckle. So we have what's called the proximal and the distal joint. The proximal one is the one closer to the knuckle. The distal one is the one closer to the nail. So when we said that it's the culmus has to reach up to the Kishri Etzbiosav, to the joint, did it mean the knuckle joint? So it means the proximal joint that's near the knuckle joint. Or did it mean up to the distal one, the one that's closer to your nail, the one that's further away from the knuckle? Gemara doesn't answer this and says, Teku. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, if it's the type of a reed that can't be used as a pen because it's too thick or it's cracked, so then you use it as firewood. And we said it was the shear that you could cook, the most easily cooked egg. So Gemara says, Tana, true for Bishem, and it has to be egg to cook easily. It has to be a scrambled egg. It has to be beaten with oil. And in addition, it's put into this pot, into this ilfa, and this ilfas is, according to the Rambam, already preheated, like I said before. In any event, Omele Mar Berei de Ravina Livrei. Mar, who was the son of Ravina, said to his son. So Mar said to his son, Mishmi lo beitza kalamayid. Have you learned this Gemara? Have you heard of anything about what they mean by a very easily cooked egg? So his son tells him, Omele, the son tells his father, Mar, bi aso de tziltzla. Tzutzla Rashi says it's an of katan, so it means over here a small bird that can therefore have a small egg and it will be easily cooked. So Mar doesn't like that answer. So Mar says to his son, my time, what's your reasoning? Because Mishum de Zutrasa, because it's so small, Mishum de Zutra, it's such a small egg. So Ema de Tzipirta. So then there's even smaller birds than this Tzutzla, a Tzifrta. A Tzifrta is a hummingbird usually, and that's the smallest of the birds. So if you're telling me it's just a small bird, why did you pick a small bird and not the smallest bird? So his son didn't know the answer, Ishtik. His son said, I don't know. So Amalei, so the son says to the father, Nu, mi di shmi aloch b'cha, maybe you know the answer. So Amalei, so Mar tells to his son, Hachi Amar Roshesh, yeah, I do know the answer to this. This is what Roshesh said. Beit says Tarnagolas. We're talking here about an egg that's very easily cooked. It's talking about the egg of a chicken, of a hen. The amai korole beit zekala. Why is it so easily cooked? So shira chacham, because the rabbis figured out ain lecha beit zekala levasha yosim beit says Tarnagolas. This of all the eggs it cooks the fastest. Those are the facts. That's it. That cooks the fastest. So his son asked him, "Umay shnal kol shiru Shabbos kugrogeres? Why, in regards to all the other hilchos Shabbos, do we say it's a kugrogeres is worth that the amount that's considered significant is a grogeres when you're doing, let's say, carrying out anything that's used to prepare food? So the shirim are a grogeres. Why over here? B'halcha kebeitza. Why here did the rabbis change?" So his father tells him, Amalei, Mar tells his son, no, that's exactly it. Hochi Amar Reb Nachman. This is exactly what Reb Nachman said. Ki grogeres mi beitza kala. We're talking here about a grogeres of a beitza kala. That's the shear, not the egg itself. It's the type of an egg, but the shear of that you carry out a reed to cook is only the amount that would be necessary to cook a grogeres mi beitza kala. With that, we conclude today's shear.